It's been great to be able to spend some time with Bruce, hear stories. I was discipled in a vineyard church in Phoenix, Arizona, so I still consider myself vineyard, whatever place I end up being. And so being able to be around and hear some of the more stories that I have not heard yet has been wonderful, and getting to meet some amazing people. I'd mentioned to him that I had, a few years into my walk with the Lord, I'd run into this little tape of Ed Piorek talking about the Father's love, and it has changed something in me since that moment. And so he's like, well, let's meet him. So I fanboyed just a little bit. That was nice. It's fun meeting people that change your life. How are you guys doing? You're doing well. You're excited. That's awesome. There is more to come than has already been. If we can remember that, we'll be able to stay in a place of hope. Well, I'm not going to do what I thought I was going to do. Go figure. This is not new, right? It's funny. It's great being in a place that's open to the prophetic, but it's also a little bit discombobulating because I spent time last night doing study. I got all of my notes. I put together. I'd already had some thoughts, got it all ready, and I threw it away this morning during worship and wrote a brand new message. So but I think this is going to help some of you. I don't really think it's going to be new for most of you. It might be new for some of you. For some of you, it's going to be a reminder. For some of you, it's going to prick something because you know it, but you've allowed yourself to slide. And you need to be reminded to come back. The first invitation into this thing that we have was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You realize that never ends. Repentance never ends. Until you're absolutely perfect, just like Jesus, there's going to be a reason to say, oops, that wasn't right. Let me do it this way. I need to change again. And the more we are able to do that, the more we actually will grow. As soon as we get to the point where we say that I've already got it all together, that I don't have to do that anymore, we have put a cap on our potential and we will never move. We're just stuck. We can't go any further as soon as we say, I already have it. So, I have a question for you. What do you listen to? Because what you listen to is going to determine the path of your life. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, has this encouragement from Paul. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. I actually like how the King James translates this. Bad communications spoil useful habits. Because the company, it's not just about the people, it's about the conversation. It's about the interchange that happens. It's what that's connected to. that the communication that you have, if the company that you keep, and that doesn't necessarily mean the person that is across the table from you, it might be the person that is in the device in front of you. Both. It's not either or. You can't separate that. But the communication that you allow to be part of your life will determine the path of your life. The old adage, garbage in means garbage out. What you pay attention to, it begins to form who you are. And it begins to cause you to make decisions. And he mentioned that we had moved up to New Hampshire to be around John Paul. At the time, me and my wife were living in Phoenix, Arizona, and after having a radical transformation from homeless drug addict to somebody that knew the Lord, being loved back to life, I had ended up putting myself into a bank because I was delivering pizza for a while, and everybody's making fun of banker's hours. I thought, that sounds nice. I'll have more time to go to church if I have banker's hours, and that's what I wanted to do. Used to close down bars, so I close down churches now. So I started working at the bank, and I got to the point where I was a financial advisor. And I was doing really well. I've been given so many opportunities. They'd helped me significantly. They bought all the licenses that I needed. And I was number five in the country in sales. Anybody heard of Chase Bank? That was the bank. Number five in the country in sales for Chase Bank. Like, there was the favor of the Lord that was on my life. At the branch that I was working at, I had a partner that we did stuff together. And she, well, I'll be careful how I say this. We were asked, if you're working in a place, especially a larger place, they usually have requirements for work. And if you're in sales, there's going to be quotas, expectations, behaviors, and results that are part of that. And so they initiated this new thing where we had to call somebody that was not an existing customer five calls every single day. That's not much. Anybody that's been a financial advisor, usually when you start out, it's hundreds of calls a day. Five calls a day. That was the minimum that we were supposed to do. And she just started complaining. I can't believe that. We're doing well. We're doing great. We've got one of the best branches in Arizona. We're hitting all of our, why are they asking this of us? And it was just this constant. And then something else. I can't believe that. It was this constant complaining about the situation. And so I was getting ready. At this point, I already knew that I was going to move to New Hampshire. It took about a year for us to finish the commitments that we had before we moved, because, your yes is yes and your no is no. So we had things that we said we were going to do. So the Lord said, move. We finished all of those commitments. So in that period of time, I'm about 3 months before we're going to leave. We're getting ready to put the house on the market. And so I'm going to be leaving anyways. And listening to this, I was tired of working there. Like, they were asking so much of us. And so I quit there and went to work for another bank for the last 3 months before we moved. About a month after I was no longer at that bank, I started thinking, like, I left the best job I've ever had. What is wrong with me? Why did I do that? Well, I know why I did it now. Because I let her complain. And I just listened to it. And her offense got into my heart and it began to form my response. And I took on her angst, her issues. Because I mean, I didn't want to hurt her feelings by telling her something different than what she thought. A little bit of people pleasing. Believe me, you're going to have to let that die at some point in time. Sooner is better than later. Sooner is better than later, because every single one of us have it, even those that pretend we don't. So anyways, people pleasing. That was my issue. I didn't want to offend by saying, I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, how much are they asking from us? Like 5 phone calls. Like, I've got friends that are starting with this other brokerage firm. They've got to knock on so many doors every single day. Like, this is easy. But I didn't say anything. I just listened to the communication. And the offense that was there got here. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8, it says this: the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. We live in a society that is addicted to fear and anger. If you've ever been in sales, especially if you've ever been in the financial arena, you're going to have to learn how not to use manipulative techniques, because everything they teach you is manipulative techniques. So I was told earlier on, there's 2 things that move the market: fear, greed. And so anytime you want somebody's money to move, use fear or greed and you'll get it to move. I got into the church, I was told the same thing, but I learned that that was a lie too. Fear, greed. Those are the 2 things that are driving the world that we live in. What we want and how we can get what we want, or the fear of losing something. And we're so addicted to fear that there's this phenomena that we call clickbait. You understand? I mean, like, most people know what clickbait is. Giving you something that makes you think that there's something there to get you to watch it because there's more going on. Almost every single time it has something to do with fear or greed. Yes. Yes. I mean, greed has a lot of different things. It's not always about finances. Sometimes it's about fame. Sometimes it's about sex. Sometimes it's about... Greed has a lot of opportunities. Fear also has a lot of different things. Insecurity. I might lose something. Something might happen. How many times do we get addicted listening to something that's going on that has nothing to do with us because our hearts are getting moved by what we're hearing? We're constantly listening to news, but news doesn't sell unless it's shock value. It's scaring people or telling them how they can get what they want. And the reality is that those 2 things always go together. One's called advertising and the other's called the program. It's always about greed and fear. We're addicted to fear. And we're addicted to anger. And so as soon as somebody starts talking about something that brings that fear, it gets ingested into us. Now, I mean, this has to do with every area of life, but I have a specific arena that the Lord has put me in for whatever reason. Think about the prophetic. How often have voices risen up because they fed people's fear? I mean, if you've been following the prophetic for any period of time, you can think back on the last 10 years and think of the, I mean, we used, in the pop world, we called it one-hit wonders, right? The people, they have got this prophetic word, everybody's talking about it, then nobody hears from them. Every single time that I can think of in the last 10 years, it was something that fed fear. Every single time. Because we're addicted to fear. And because it agrees with the fear that was already there, maybe we weren't really admitting it, we think that it's actually true because it agrees with something in us. And so instead of actually using real discernment, we just ingest it. And then we find out that it's not true. We find out that it actually doesn't come to pass. We program ourselves on what to hear. I'm one of those one-hit wonders. I'm not going to mention the prophecy or the person because it does not matter. It's the principle. Because we need to learn this principle, because some of you have a prophetic gift. And there's a real easy way to defile that prophetic gift. Pay attention to the wrong thing. Dream came, got really popular, everybody's talking about it. Another dream came, sounded much like the last one. Everybody's talking about it. And I'm listening to an interview, because I listened to the dream, and I'm like, it doesn't feel like the Lord. I don't know. I don't know the person. I'm not going to give my thoughts on it. So I didn't join into the bunch of people that were saying, oh, this has got to be God, or this can't be God. But that was my sense. And then I heard this person talking about how they spend 3 to 4 hours a day reading news articles. And everything in the dream and in the prophetic word could be the natural thing that was going to come. There was nothing new. It was, this is going on, and this is what it's going to turn into. This is what's going on. And you could have pulled up any news agency and read the exact same predictions from everybody else that had fed themselves on fear. And you can actually program what you hear by focusing on it. Well, they're not far from where I live, about 3 hours south of us, is Austin, Texas. And we have the South by Southwest Film Festival. Bunch of country music, bunch of films, the whole thing goes on. And so we've gone down there a few different times and taken teams. We'll stand on a corner with a big sign that says free dream interpretation. Just wait till somebody looks at it and you're like, ah, you saw that. You've got a dream, don't you? So we draw them in, talk to the dreams. You know what one of the main dreams that happens? It's not like 90% of the people, but the most common dream. They're on the stage, they get discovered. They're the next big thing. Seriously. Why? Because that's what they're dreaming about. Now, that's what they're dreaming about, so that's what they dream about. That's what they're meditating on, so it gets formed inside of them. You ever been meditating on something and then you have a dream that confirms everything you've been meditating on? That's the definition of a soul dream. Now, Jeremiah talked about the prophets who had dreams that came from their own soul. Dreams that they caused themselves to dream. And they didn't decide, oh, I'm going to dream this. But they meditated on it. They were listening in another place. Jeremiah 23 is a large passage. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. That they were stealing words from one another. They would listen to all these other prophetic words and they'd get revelation that matched these prophetic words because they were listening to them all. Now, that will give you a huge explanation with what's wrong with the broad prophetic movement today. But it's not just about the prophetic, it's about every single one of us. Because we allow ourselves to listen to things, secret things, the news, the gossip. We won't call it gossip in the church because, you know, the definition of Christian gossip, sharing somebody else's prayer request. We don't call it gossip in the church, but, I mean, have you heard the latest? I mean, do you know the last person that fell? I mean, I've never listened to any of their teachings, but I'm going to talk about them because they fell. I'd never even heard their name. Well, I mean, maybe somebody mentioned it, but now I'm going to talk about them because there's gossip for me to talk about. I have nothing to do with it, but I mean, they're part of the church, and I've got to protect the church. And that's in the macro, but it's also in the micro. It's right here in this church. What do we talk about? How do we talk about it? What do we allow ourselves to listen to? Because what you allow yourself to listen to is going to inform your opinion. You know, you can have two people that are looking at the same thing. Let's talk about the church, the broad international church of every denomination, every language, the church. There is one big C church. You talk to some, and this is the worst time period that's ever been. Like, I mean, the church is losing its influence. It's corrupt. We're all in error. We've got all these issues. We've got all these problems. You talk to somebody else, and you find out about these revivals that are going on all around the world, how the church is growing faster than it's ever grown before, how things are expanding. You can hear about testimonies of this person falling, and you can hear about testimonies of whole cities coming to the Lord, villages. You can hear about this person that got a prophetic word that they were going to live and not die, and how we did their funeral, and we don't understand it, and I just don't even believe in any of this stuff. Or you can hear about the person that had somebody call out something that they didn't know about and got the miracle. And they're both true. They're both true. Which one are you going to focus on? Because which one you focus on is going to determine what gets formed inside of you. What you allow yourself to dwell on forms you. Let's go a little bit earlier in Proverbs, to Proverbs chapter 4. Start in verse 20. This is the beginning, the introduction of Proverbs, where Solomon is encouraging the next generation to listen, to learn wisdom. And this particular section, starting in verse 20, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the feet of your path, and then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Amen. Pay attention. Meditate on the words of wisdom, the words of life. Because as you meditate on that, it forms something inside of you that determines the path that you walk on. But if you let the other things come, and as he continues through, if you read just the first 8 chapters of Proverbs, he's constantly going back between these two women, the wisdom that cries out, come in here, find life. And then the one that flatters, I'm going to give you what you want, the adulteress. I'll give you what feeds your flesh. Nobody will really know. It won't get found out. It talks about the young men that hear that voice and get turned aside, not realizing that they're being led like an ox to the slaughter. Because the flesh feeds on flesh, but the spirit feeds on spirit. And what we allow ourselves to pay attention to, what we allow to come out of our mouth begins to form the people around us, and what we allow to come into our ears forms the person inside us. Deuteronomy chapter 6 has what's called the Shema. It's the Hebrew word means to hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. It goes on to encourage paying attention, meditating on the word of God. It says, write it on your foreheads. Write it on your arms. Talk about it all day long. Talk about it to your family. Talk about it to your kids. Why? Because if you allow that to be the main thing that feeds you, you will be formed by it and you will end up looking like it. Hallelujah. If you actually purposefully go after the Word of God, letting the ways of God, the good things of God fill your mouth, fill your heart, you will get formed into a force of good in the environment you find yourself in. But if you allow yourself to constantly feed on secrets, gossip, juicy morsels that go down into the innermost being, they're so delicious to hear. And what you hear is what you say. Take a look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things. Say all things.
All things.
What does all mean?
All.
All means all. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. But you don't know how bad our governor is. You're from Texas. Now I'm meddling. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How does your light shine? Don't hide it under a basket. But what you allow out of your mouth will determine the light that comes out of you. Is it going to be dark light or good light? Anybody ever been on a negativity fast? No, seriously. If you've not done it, try it. Try it for 4 hours when you're not sleeping. Try it for 24 hours. Try it for 3 days. Just decide you're not going to let anything negative come out of your mouth. You realize how hard it is after a minute. How often we just complain. We just grumble. I can't believe they cut me off. Think they're the only ones on this road. There's other people that are here too. Can you believe that they said that? I mean, now they're asking for us to do this again. I've got to make 5 phone calls. I thought that was a big deal. Because I heard it so much. And the first time I heard it, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, difference of opinion. And then I heard it again, 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 and then I heard it again. You get the picture?
Yeah.
And this little thing, you know what concrete is made of? A bunch of little grains of sand. It's not how big it is. It's how many are there. Sometimes, that's just a little thing. But a little thing added to a little thing, added to a little thing, added to a little thing, it becomes a mountain. We get to be the ones that set the tone. How do we talk about the things that we talk about? What do we let ourselves talk about? I've got this plaque. It's right by the, right next to the front door. Front door's here. It's sitting right here on the wall. It says, of course, as soon as I go to say it, it disappears right out of my head. That's not even fair. I've got a great memory. Great people talk about ideas. Average people talk about things. Small people talk about other people. And that's a constant remembrance. A constant remembrance to what's really important. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to wrap this up quickly. Starting in verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths.
Amen.
Now, I mean, just a little bit. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up.
Amen.
As fits the occasion, that it may give grace to the hearer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You realize these two things are connected. What comes out of your mouth affects the heart of Holy Spirit. That word grieve, R.T. Kendall, anybody heard of him? So I haven't done the study. I don't have the degree that says that I'm a Greek major. He does. His words. That word for grieve in the Greek, it's not a nice word. You ever met somebody that's overly sensitive that you have to be really careful how you talk around them so you don't hurt their feelings? That's the word that God used in Scripture to talk about Holy Spirit. Be careful how you talk, because the Holy Spirit's heart is easily hurt by what comes out of our mouths. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. You ever heard God talk about you? He doesn't gossip about you. Do you remember that dream was in my heart when I created them? Do you remember that piece of my glory that I put in them that they can reveal to the world? He talks about who he intended us to be. It actually says that he praises our righteousness. You ever think about God praising you? Now, some people would think of that as blasphemy, but it's actually just who God is. Because we're made in the image of God. And if we're made to praise, where did we get it from? He loves to speak well of things that reflect himself because he knows their value. I'm not going to go through James chapter 3, but it talks about how we talk about one another. But we say we praise God, but then we talk badly about people. It's like having salt water and spring water coming out of the same spring. It doesn't work. It can't happen. It's going to be good. It's going to be bad. You know, so it doesn't take a whole bunch of salt water to get put into water for it to taste salty. I mean, you can have a lot of good water and just add a little bit. I mean, after you're swimming, you get it on your water bottle and you can taste the salt that was dripping off your lips. It flavors the whole thing. How do we get out of it? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you go through, just study the book of Luke and the book of Acts and look for every time it talks about someone getting filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, usually uses the word filled with the Spirit. You will find a consistent theme every single time. Something comes out of their mouth. They either prophesy, Zechariah, Mary, Elizabeth, when John the Baptist got filled, she prophesied. That's kind of fun. Right? The disciples of Cornelius, they begin to praise God. So sometimes it's worship. Sometimes it's tongues. But something comes out of the mouth when we begin to speak. I mean, this is in Ephesians and Colossians both. It talks about be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with spiritual songs. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, it affects what comes out of your mouth. So if you want to know what Spirit has filled you, pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. Because you cannot say that you are filled with the Spirit of God when you're talking badly about what He created. It is a lie. And the enemy has kept us deceived long enough, thinking that we can get away with the very thing that steals the life that God intended to transform us and make us new. And I am jealous that you not miss what God gave you. The Spirit of God in you to transform you so that you're no longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Made into something new because you've been put in His image, not in the image of this world. And our speech is the proof that we have light. And if you happen to be a prophetic person, and you actually want authority on prophetic words, because there's a difference between accuracy and authority. Actually, it doesn't even take the Spirit of God to be accurate. There's psychics that are accurate. But if you want to have authority to transform someone, pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. Because if you're constantly letting careless words come out of your mouth, you're losing your authority. You're giving it away. And when you need it, you don't have it. Is this making sense? So here's the invitation. Remember Isaiah 6? Isaiah was in the temple. And the veil gets lifted. He begins to see the reality, the heavenly reality. He'd been coming to church his whole life, but he'd never actually realized what was going on in church. He just was doing it because what he did. And all of a sudden, the veil gets lifted, and he sees the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filling the temple. He started realizing, wow, when I come into the gathered place of the people of God, I am in the midst of the presence of God. And his first response, oh no! I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in a people of unclean lips. That's us. And the Lord's response, the angel comes and grabs a coal from the altar. Do you know that altar? I don't have time to get into the whole tabernacle pattern, but that was the altar of prayer. The golden altar that stands in the midst of the cherubim. He grabs a coal from that altar and touches his lips. Be made clean. And the Lord wants to renew for some of you. And for some of you, this might be the first time. The baptism of the Holy Spirit by touching you with the fire that purifies. I don't actually know what to expect. But I do know this. Please don't take this flippantly. If you're not going to consecrate your lips to the Lord, and you try to receive this, it will bring judgment on what comes out of your mouth. And you will have to pay a higher price than what you would if you just don't respond. So if you're not actually ready to actually respond, please don't. But if you want the Lord to touch you with His fire, to purify your lips with a fresh baptism of His Spirit, would you just stand where you're at? And I want to pray and ask the Lord to do that. Father, we come like Isaiah. We have not recognized the nearness of your presence, and we have acted as if you were not there. Lord, we each have unclean lips. Lord, I know the words that I have spoken carelessly about my brother and my sister. And I have listened to the words that my brothers and sisters told me about my brothers and sisters. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Lord, I'm asking for forgiveness. Lord, would you come right now and begin to release a coal from that altar to purge our lips, to purge our speech, so that we could be a people of pure speech that brings glory to the Lord in the earth. Father, I'm asking because of the blood shed on the cross, that your Holy Spirit would come and fill each one of us afresh with your Spirit and your power so that we can make known the glories of God. Come and move, O God. Father, I'm asking, release the fire in our midst. More. Release the fire. Purge our lips, O God. Come. Come. More. More. Father, I'm asking, especially for those here that have a prophetic calling, Father, would you do to them, to us, what you did to Ezekiel? Would you bind us with ropes so that our mouth may not move unless it agrees with your heart? And Father, release again the spirit of the fear of the Lord over your people. Haunt us with the reality of your nearness. When our heart begins to wander, let the fire begin to burn again so that we would have to ignore you to continue to wander. But Lord, give us grace not to. Give us grace not to. Father, I'm asking that you would silence the voice of the accuser in the mouth of your people. Father, I am asking that you would release again a fresh wave, especially in this body, a fresh wave of anointing on the words of the lips to cause people to see Jesus and return to him. Lord, that there would be a compelling that would drive people out to call people to yourself. That we would snatch them from the fires of destruction and draw them into your home, into your heart. Oh God, let compassion rise above the fear. Let compassion rise above the fear that we would not hold back from saying the full counsel We would say with Paul, even as was said earlier, that we would count our lives as worth nothing if only we may finish the task given to us by the Lord Jesus, the task of testifying to the grace of God. So come, have your way. And Father, in each place, in each heart here in this room where there's actually been repentance, it's been released, I'm asking you would just begin to pour out refreshing now. Refreshing. Weariness beginning to lift off, that heaviness beginning to lift off of shoulders and hearts, even as we've been recognizing since the beginning of this service, Lord, we just say yes to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Bless you guys.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com and we'll see you next time.